Really, it's a privilege for us to meditate each month on a new psalm and to spend the month really thinking about it and letting those words dwell richly in us. Psalm 100 is well known and well loved. It's a psalm that has been sung throughout the ages to give thanks to the Lord. In fact, it's titled the Psalm of Thanksgiving. Let's hear God's word. A psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. As I mentioned, this psalm has a unique title. A title that says, A Psalm for Giving Thanks. It's been said that one of the most important duties and privileges for a Christian is to give thanks to God. And Psalm 100 issues a compelling call to thank God personally, but also specifically to thank God corporately, to come together in public worship to bless his holy name. Verses 1 and 2 and then verse 4 issue that call to worship him. In fact, in verses 1 and 2, we find the psalmist giving an amazing call, a call that it is a call to worship not just to the Jews of the psalmist's day, but a call to God's people everywhere and to the nations to come and worship God. I call this an amazing call because the psalmist demonstrates a grasp on covenant history that shows an expectation of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Because it is in Jesus and in Jesus alone that the nations are brought into the presence of a holy God. In the Old Testament period, those nations surrounding Israel would have, in a sense, taken a back seat to the Jews. There were walls, literal walls, that would separate Jew and Gentile in the public worship of God. And yet, in anticipation of Jesus Christ, and in prophetic realization of Jesus Christ, the psalmist calls all the nations to come into the presence of God to worship him. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. When you see that word serve in the Old Testament in the context of serving the Lord, it is typically a phrase to describe the public worship of God. He even says, come into his presence with singing, another term of worship. I hope that you'd see this as an immediate application as we meditate on Psalm 100. When you worship and when you come to church, you need to recognize that you are coming into the presence of the Lord Almighty. This is what worship is, that by the mediation of Jesus Christ that you are brought into his presence. Because of that, you sing and you serve, because Jesus has set you free. Isn't it true then that we come with great joy, rejoicing at the salvation that we have? Verse 3 provides more reason to praise the Lord. Know that the Lord is God, says the psalmist. How easy it is for us to become focused on our own selfish needs and desires. We become caught up in the affairs of our own life and so concerned with the day-to-day practical things that we forget that the Lord is God. The psalmist says, God made us. In other words, we depend on him for our existence. And again, how easy it is for us to forget that. The psalmist says, God redeems us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. once more, Psalm 100 shows an amazing grasp of covenant history. God promised to save his people through a Redeemer, and it's Jesus who fulfills that promise when he declares, "I am the Good Shepherd," and the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 4 issues another call to worship. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." It mirrors the first call in verses 1 and 2, calling us again to public worship. It highlights the fact that thanksgiving especially is a part of why we gather together to worship God. It provides an important guide for worship, doesn't it? Worship ought to be oriented toward God, towards knowing that he is the Lord and that he is God, knowing what he has done for us. Our response rises out of this knowledge, and the psalmist weaves together both the emotions of joy and the intellectual knowledge of the proclamations of the gospel truths in such a way to lead us to worship him with thanksgiving. Verse 5 mirrors verse 3 as well. It gives reasons to praise God. "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." The Lord is good. Just that short phrase alone is worthy of much meditation. Throughout this month, I hope that you will lead your family to think of the goodness of God in sending his Son to be incarnate. We celebrate the incarnation throughout December. And so think about the goodness of God. Think how he is how he is not fickle, or the opposite of good, he's not wicked. God is good. His mercy is everlasting. That means that he turns away his punishment and deals with you in mercy. And the psalmist says, forever that's the case. He will never turn away from you, because Jesus has made that once-for-all sacrifice for you. And finally, his truth endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. The word there that is used is the word that if it's that we get the word amen from. In the New Testament, sometimes Jesus would say, "Truly, truly, I say to you," or "Amen, amen, I say to you." That's the word for truth that is expressed here. His truth endures forever, or his amen endures forever. And I find it fitting to close with another great covenantal promise. Since God has promised to save us, he will surely do it. In fact, he has done it. For in Christ, all God's promises are yes and amen. Give thanks to him, then. Bless his holy name. I encourage you to take your psalters now, and we'll sing together this psalm of thanksgiving. Psalm 100, and we'll use selection C. Psalm 100C. Please stand to praise God.